Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our associate pastor.
Well, good morning. If you will turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, this is where we'll be starting this morning. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids here. Some don't have kids. Now, many here today are believers, but not all. But we are all sitting here today and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make more disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Well, in 2007... I packed up my car and went on a road trip to move to another state for seminary. I went, as Pastor Calvin mentioned, I went to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. So I packed up everything I could in my SUV and drove out to Fort Worth, Texas from Florida. I grew up about an hour from Gainesville and enrolled at Southwestern Seminary for 3 years of my seminary studies, and I would say it's one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. And your first year in seminary, you were required to go to chapel. After that, you weren't required to. And actually, outside the door, you had to swipe your student ID so they could make sure you're going to chapel. And if you miss a certain number of chapels, you had to do chapel again or something like that. And in addition to that, your first year, you had to go to a class called spiritual formation. And you had to stay for another hour before lunch. And professors and other people would share about different topics related to Christian ministry, the Christian life. And one day in spiritual formation, they showed a video. And the video was about scripture memory. And there was a man named Max Barnett that was on the video talking about scripture memory and just the benefits of scripture memory in your life. And I'd never really considered that before. I mean, I'd memorized a few verses here and there. In my life, I had some verses highlighted in my Bible that I could recite, but I never really considered making scripture memory a regular part of my life. And so that started me on a journey through a few starts and stops and a few ups and downs along the way when it came to the topic of scripture memory. And little did I know that that would change the whole trajectory of my life. Because I got to know Max Barnett, he would teach some adjunct courses at the seminary, and he ended up bringing me on at the OU campus ministry in Norman, Oklahoma, after I finished my seminary studies, and he's one of my dearest mentors to this day. And so today I'm going to be talking about the journey of scripture memory. We're near the beginning of the year, and it's always good to talk about things like this. It's always good to talk about your daily quiet time or evangelism or other things that are good to really commit your life to. And so this year, we're going to talk about scripture memory. So let's look at Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to share a few verses as we go related to this topic, and really hope my desire is to express to you the impact that it's made in my life. So Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." So this is the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. And these verses are talking about the man or the woman who meditates on the law of the Lord. You see a progression here of someone who's not on the right trajectory in life, someone who walks in the counsel of the wicked. So they associate and walk, they talk with people who are wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. I imagine a college campus where people are walking along, going to class, and they're talking with certain people. And then you see people stopping for discussion, maybe deeper conversation, or sitting in the seat of scoffers. This is something that you might do over a meal, sitting in the seat of scoffers. The negative influence, the negative ways of seeing the world, seeing relating to God. Blessed is the person who doesn't do that. But the person whose delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, he thinks day and night. He meditates on the word of God day and night. And that person who does that will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Don't you want that to be true of your life? That whatever you do, you prosper, whether it be in your business, or whether it be in your educational pursuits, or your marriage, or parenting, or in your ministry, or your finances, or in your relationships. Don't you want everything that your life touches to prosper? Well, here it says that the person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, whatever they do, they prosper, which is really simple, not easy, but it is very simple. If you go to Joshua 1:8, we get the same idea. Joshua, who was a protege, if you will, of Moses, was given the task of leading God's people into the promised land. Could you imagine that assignment? And he was the military leader of the people. In many ways, he was a spiritual leader of the people. He wasn't a priest, but as the leader went, often that's where the people went spiritually. And he had the task of going, leading these hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people into the promised land, which was, by the way, enemy-occupied territory. And God gives him some instructions on what to do in order to be successful in this assignment. And as far as I can tell, he reminds me of two things that he needs to consider. Number one, in verse 7, we don't have it on the screen, he says, be strong and courageous. The Lord your God's with you wherever you go. And then verse 8, he gives the verse that we're about to look at. And then verse 9, he says, again, be strong and courageous. It's like a sandwich. Be strong and courageous. And then verse 8, this is what he says. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. So Joshua is instructed to meditate on God's word day and night. So we're looking at meditation, which what does that have to do with scripture memory? There's just a really close connection between memorizing verses and meditation. If you have God's word stored up in your heart, in your mind, God can access it whenever he wants, which fuels the meditation or thinking about God's word day and night. They say that the simplest way to move something from your head to your heart as far as God's word or the truths of God's word is meditation. Meditation moves the truth from your head to your heart. As you think about it, as you ponder it, it gets into your life. It gets into who you are. This is from Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard, he was a USC philosophy professor. He wrote several great books. He wrote a book called, The Spirit of the Disciplines. And this is what he said from that book. He said, if I had to choose between all the disciplines of the Christian or spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization, because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's where you need it. How does it get into your mouth? Through memorization. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So if my word abides in you, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. In the back, I have a little handout if you want to take one on your way out, and it's 30 reasons why you should memorize Scripture. I thought about sharing all 30 today. Not really. But there's 30 reasons why you should memorize Scripture. So if you want to grab that, and there's more than that. I'm going to give you five today. And one of my five is not on the 30. But there's just so many wonderful benefits to memorizing Scripture. So let me give you the first reason why I think it's a good idea to memorize Scripture. Scripture memory equips us for the spiritual battles that we face in our lives. Donald Whitney, he wrote a book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He's a professor at Southern Seminary. He says, when Scripture is stored up in your mind, it is available for the Holy Spirit to bring to your attention when you need it the most, no matter what situation you're facing. So we can, one example of how we can use this is we can use memorized verses to attack a particular struggle that we're dealing with at the time, at some time in our lives. So if there's something you're struggling with in your life, memorize some verses on it and attack that struggle with God's word. Memorizing key verses can bring a great deal of encouragement during difficult times in our lives. At Mr. Brannon's funeral this week, they handed out a lot of Mr. Brannon's, they call them dadisms, his sayings, the sayings that he would say. And if they have any extra of those, actually, I'm going to keep it. I had it on my little coffee table this week, and I was looking at some of those. And I've heard him say a lot of those. Some of those I'd never personally heard him say. But I noticed one of his quotes that they had included in the handout. And this is what Mr. Brannon said, and I think it's just so good. He says, when you have a problem, find the promise and attach the promise to the problem. Attach the promise to the problem. So whatever problem you're dealing with in life, whether it be fear or anxiety or anger, or if you're struggling to believe God in a particular part of your life, if there's a temptation you're dealing with, find the promise and attach that promise to the problem. And you can target the problem with the promises of God's word. If you have those promises stored up within you, then God has them available. This is a practice that I've used for years. Like, I'll be struggling with something and I'll maybe memorize two or three verses related to that problem. And it's such a blessing. This is, again, from Donald Whitney. I'm going to quote him a few times today. He said, imagine yourself in the midst of a decision and needing guidance, or struggling with a difficult temptation and needing victory. The Holy Spirit enters your mental arsenal, and he looks around for available weapons. So he goes into your mental arsenal, and he looks for weapons that he can use in the battles that you're facing in life. In Ephesians 6, it says that the word of God is like a sword. It's an offensive weapon that can be used in the spiritual battles that we're facing in life. I could probably list just a number of ways that this could apply to our lives. Just another thing about it is when you're discouraged, God can use verses to bring immediate encouragement to your life. When I'm praying about something, the Holy Spirit often will bring Scripture to my mind, and God uses that Scripture to minister to me. I was reminded of this by an experience I had a few years ago. I mentioned that I served at the University of Oklahoma with the BCM there for several years. And my last year there, I really experienced God calling me away from there and calling me here to Gainesville. And there were some things about coming that I was really excited about. There were some things about coming that I wasn't excited about. And one of the things that I was not excited about was leaving all the... And I drove away and I was so sad about leaving. Just really sad about that. Just feeling of loss. And God brought a verse to my mind, Psalm 37:3. That was not planned, by the way. Can you still hear me? Okay. God brought a verse to my mind. Maybe the enemy doesn't want you to hear this. I don't know. Okay. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And God just spoke that to my heart. He's like, God, Kurt, I'm leading you somewhere else. But when you get there, dwell in the land. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate relationships. Build your life in Florida. And that was such an encouragement to me in that moment. So this is how God can speak to us. So God, that kind of threw me off there. Scripture memory equips us for the spiritual battles we face in life. Number two, memorization brings transformation. Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." It says, do not be conformed to this world. And this is the idea of a mold. Like I like to think when I was a kid, my mom would make Jell-O and there would be a mold that you put the Jell-O in and you had to wait. The world is trying to conform you or press you into a mold. But don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And our minds are renewed by the Word of God. Scripture memory is not the only way that our minds can be renewed, because it's not about the memorization, it's about the Word and what the Word does in our lives, whether we're reading it or hearing it spoken or taught. But having Scripture on your heart is such a benefit when it comes to having a renewed mind. And the key to sanctification or the growth in the Christian life is how we think. It starts with how we think. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I read this in a book recently. It says, being in the Bible every day instills within us a self-correcting mechanism, a spiritual GPS. Having this in place and finally calibrated, when something goes wrong, we know why it went wrong, and best of all, how to correct back before we are down the path of no return. This is what God does through the Word of God. It also, when it comes to this topic, it stimulates obedience to the Word of God. In Joshua, it says you should meditate on the Word, and it says so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. There's something about having it memorized that stimulates obedience because it's right there. It's close by. I'll give you an example of this. I feel like I have in the past, I had a pretty decent speech. I mean, the words that came out of my mouth weren't terrible, I didn't think. And I was a believer, and I was in ministry, and I was voted, by the way, wittiest in my senior class for, like, the superlatives or whatever you call it. I was wittiest in my class, which I thought that was pretty cool. But in hindsight, it meant just the most sarcastic person. And so this is something I've really had to grow in, because looking back, I'm really ashamed of the words that came out of my mouth. And I memorized Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may bless those who hear. I memorized that verse, and you know what happened? I became a lot more convicted about the words that were coming out of my mouth, because God used that to stimulate obedience, stimulate conviction in our lives. So memorization brings transformation. Number three, God's word in our hearts can help us to avoid sin. Psalm 119, verse 9, verse 11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Do you catch that? I've treasured your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. A great example of someone in the Scripture who applied this to their lives is Jesus. When he was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, when Satan tempted him, how did he respond? It is written. It is written. The Scripture that he had memorized, and either Jesus memorized it like you and I did, I think he probably had some special ability to do that more than we do, or maybe God just gave him the ability to know all the Word of God, I don't know. Maybe it's both. But he used Scripture from memory to fight the attacks of the devil. And we can do the same thing when we're tempted. This is so valuable. A few years ago, I was getting my taxes prepared. It was tax season. And I owned a rental townhouse in Tallahassee at the time. I don't own it anymore. And I was at a tax office, and there was a nice lady that was helping me with prepare my taxes. And I had had two different tenants that year. So part of the year I had one, and then they moved out, then I got another tenant. And I had the documentation for both tenants as far as reporting that on my taxes, and I had it all on paper. And she pushed one of the documents back to me, and she said, "Hey, don't report this. The government will never find this." Because I had a tenant, so they'll just assume that was my tenant for the year. Said, the government will never find this. Don't report this. And I pushed it back to her. I was like, "No, I want to report it." And she pushed it back to me and said, "No, don't report this." And in those moments, we've been in those moments, it can be pretty easy sometimes to justify not doing the right thing. For example, the government wastes money anyway. The government wastes money anyway. Or, man, I'm paying so much on I don't have any write-offs. I'm not married. I don't have kids. The government's killing me when it comes to the taxes I pay for the amount of money that I make. I don't have kids in school. Why do I have to pay for schools? I don't use the roads that much. Why do I have to pay for roads? But I just memorized a verse. And it was Proverbs 11:1, and it says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." And that verse was just screaming at me in that moment. God's word has a way of speaking to us just when we need it. And I heard it said, and I think this is just a great, great thing to remember. When you're tempted or when you're dealing with certain situations, you feel a nudging of the Spirit of God. Or you feel God pushing you in a certain way, a certain direction. But the Holy Spirit, or Scripture, remember, gives the Holy Spirit a vocabulary to speak to us in different situations that we face in life. The Holy Spirit can access the Word of God and speak verbatim what God is trying to say to us through His Word. It gives the Holy Spirit a vocabulary to speak. Number four, Scripture memory equips us to be able to minister to other people. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work." When we're ministering to other people, we can give them the Word of God. And I've had so many situations where I was talking to somebody in passing or having an informal conversation, and they're talking about something they're facing, and I can give them the Word of God that I know that relates to their situation. And it just gives you a storehouse of knowledge and understanding and wisdom that you can share with others. I'll tell you this. I learned this in seminary. This is something they taught me. It's like, don't give people your opinion. Give people the Word of God. And people started accusing me more of being wise when I really started getting into the Word of God and committing it to memory, because I was giving them the Word, trying to give people the Word of God. So this allows us to minister to others in some really special ways. There's a book by Steve Farrar called Manna. Great, great book that I read recently. And this is what Steve Farrar said about Jesus' ministry when it came to the Word of God. He said, "Jesus used Scripture to explain, rebuke, exhort, comfort, and train those around him. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, we find Jesus directly quoting from the Old Testament 76 times. 33 of those quotes are from the Pentateuch, 3 from Genesis, 7 from Exodus, 6 from Leviticus, 1 from Numbers, and 16 times from Deuteronomy. 9 times, Jesus also directly quoted from Psalms and Proverbs. He quoted from all the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and from 8 of the 12 minor prophets, just in the book of Matthew alone. So, Scripture memory equips us to be able to minister to others when we have God's Word hidden in our hearts. Number 5, Last one, and then I'm going to give you some practical ways that I do this in my own life. Memorized scriptures are a powerful tool for evangelism. Show of hands, has anyone done EE or some other evangelism training program? Scripture memory is just a crucial part of the plan. You memorize these key verses that you can share with people when you're sharing the gospel with people. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. If you don't know what to say, give them the word of God. Memorize the verses that go with the gospel presentation that you're learning. If you're learning a gospel presentation, if you're not, there's so many wonderful gospel presentations out there. One of the tools that we use in the campus ministry is one verse evangelism, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there's other ones that we use. Memorize verses that relate to the gospel. I have seminary degrees. I've been in ministry for over 10 years now. And I'll tell you that often I'm in an evangelism-type context, and I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to say next when I'm talking to somebody. But verses memorized are such a wonderful tool, because you can give them the words of God that speak into their life. I think of John 1:12, but to as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has cast the iniquity of us all on him. Ephesians 2, it's for by grace we've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Or John 5, you search the scriptures because you think that in them there's eternal life, but it's these that testify about me. This is Jesus saying this. Or John 14, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or Titus, he saved us not based on the deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So many verses that relate to the gospel, and we can share those with people. Christian and I were out witnessing this week, and got to share with this guy from Portland. Was it Lance? Was his name? Yeah, Lance, and unchurched guy, and we were right there in front of the hub and had a nice, really neat conversation talking about the gospel, and he had so many cool questions, and Christian and I were able to talk to him, and actually he told Christian he wants to meet up and talk some more. But he started asking some really hard questions, but I was able to share scripture with him related to his questions. So such a great, great tool when it comes to evangelism. So let me share with you again just some reasons why, and then I'm going to show you just briefly how I memorize scripture. Number one, it equips us for the spiritual battles that we face in life. Number two, memorization brings transformation for us. God's word in our heart, number three, can help us avoid sin. Four, scripture memory equips us to be able to minister to others. And five, memorized scriptures are a powerful tool for evangelism. So you may ask me, okay, how do you memorize scripture? There's a lot of different ways you could do this. I've heard some neat ways that other people practice this and do it. This is the way that I do it. I get a lot of my verses that I want to memorize from my quiet times when I'm meeting with God in the morning. I keep a journal. I keep a note thing on my phone where I record verses that I want to memorize. And sometimes I'll eventually get back to the verse and I decide I don't want to memorize it anymore. But I'll maybe put a topic, or I'll put where I got the verse from. And I put them on cards. I keep little cards and write verses on them. So I got the reference on one side, the verse on the back. And I try to put a topic on the cards. And this week when I was, and I keep a spreadsheet with my verses on it, and I went through my verses on scripture memory that I've memorized just to try to get some ideas for my message this morning. There's a scripture memory course called the Topical Memory System that was developed by the Navigators. It's about 60 verses. It's some really key verses. That's a great, great place to start with the topical memory system. I try to memorize key verses instead of chapters from the Bible, just because if you have a lot of different key verses memorized, then God, that gives God access to a lot of different topics that he can use to minister in your life and that you can use to minister to other people. If you commit your time to memorizing all the book of Genesis, you're going to spend the rest of your life doing that and reviewing those verses. So I like to think of myself as a general practitioner rather than a specialist when it comes to different topics in the Word of God. But memorizing key verses, I review verses in the morning along with my quiet time. And I found sometimes I get up in the morning and I don't really feel like reading my Bible. I know that might be shocking to you, but that was meant to be a joke. But I find that if I review a few verses, that really kind of gets me in the right spirit when it comes to spending time with God. So I think of it like priming the pump. I review a few verses, and it kind of gets me going in the morning. When I disciple guys throughout the week, we'll check a few verses, and we try to do that every time because it's good accountability for me, and it's good accountability for them as far as just being consistent. I found that if I don't check guys very often, they tend to struggle with this, but if they know I'm going to check, they tend to be more consistent just having that accountability. Craig, Olive, and I meet every week and for accountability, encouragement, prayer, and we'll check verses together, more like an accountability type relationship. If this is a new habit for you, if it's not something that you're used to, I would recommend tying it or linking it with something that you enjoy doing, like drinking coffee in the morning, which I do. I make coffee in the morning, or something like that that you enjoy that's part of your day. I know Carlene Olive reviews verses when she's drinking her afternoon coffee after lunch, just reviews verses. So another thing about this, I think I remember the first seminar I ever went to on scripture memory, and I was just so intimidated by what the pastor said. It was at a church conference in Dallas, Fort Worth. And I was like, wow, I could never do that. Like, I could never. Maybe that's how you're feeling right now as I'm sharing this with you. And I really hope that's not the case. But I remember thinking that I could never do that. And I was in seminary when I went to that seminar. One thing that's helpful for me is thinking about the power of small habits. Just a little by little working on this practice. And over time, you realize that you've made a lot of progress. So I probably, in my daily life, don't spend more than 5 minutes a day on this habit. Sometimes more if I'm meeting with a guy I'm discipling or something. But it's more of just the power and buildup of small habits, maybe memorizing one verse, praying that verse into your life, thinking how you can apply it to your life, and then moving on to another verse that you can memorize. This is also very helpful. I try to treat this more like a devotional practice in my life. So in the morning when I review my verses, I go to my verses that I'm reviewing or working on, and I try to go to them with the same amount of anticipation that I do as I do with my quiet time or my Bible reading. And without fail, I would say God speaks to me probably just as much through verses as he does through reading of the Word. Based on whatever situation I'm going through or whatever I need to hear, God uses these verses. I would say some of my most major decisions I've ever made in my life when it came to God's will for my future, God spoke to me through memorized verses about those decisions. So treat it more of a devotional exercise rather than something that you're trying to do just because it's what you're supposed to do or whatever. But there's just so much blessing that comes from this practice. So think about it that way. Some of the questions that people ask about this are, one of them is, well, I just don't have enough time for that. That just seems like that would take up a lot of time. I read this somewhere, this study that said that the average person in America spends about 45 minutes a day waiting. Waiting on something. Waiting on the bus, if you're a college student, or waiting for a meeting, or waiting for an appointment, waiting to pick your kids up from school, and you're in the school pickup line. You can use that time, if you have your verses close to you, to memorize scripture. I like to play the guitar. And one thing that I found about playing the guitar is if you have the guitar available to you, if it's sitting close by, then you're more likely to pick it up and use it. But if it's in a case under your bed, it might stay there for a while. So keep your verse pack. I keep this with me everywhere I go, and it's available where I can use those pockets of time when I need to. But you can use time that other people might waste on social media or in some other way. Use that time to memorize scripture. You might be asking, okay, where do I get one of those verse packs? Justin Thomas, I think he might be doing childcare right now, can make you one. He's gotten into making these. We actually have some of these in the church office where you can get one from the office. We have the cards here at the church. If we run out, we can order more. But you can pick these up here at the church. Two of the biggest pitfalls that I've noticed in my own life is times when I've struggled is not having accountability, like somebody keeping you accountable, accountability relationship or discipleship kind of relationship. People who can keep you accountable, keep you going. That's a pitfall. It's really, I think, important to have people in your life that can help encourage you. And another pitfall, I would say, is not having a plan for old verses, like how to review old verses. So you might memorize a verse, but then you don't have a plan for how to review it. And then when you get back to it, whether it's on cards or there's scripture memory apps you can use on your phone, there's a lot of those, and it's fuzzy or you just don't know it well. So having a plan for review. So I systematically review old verses. I keep my verse cards in a box and I'm just working through them throughout the year, just reviewing. And there's about 30 verses here, and I'll keep these in for a week or a week or two, and I'll just try to review them every day, just working through them and reviewing old verses. Well, we were at Life Impact a week or two ago as our winter conference, and one of my friends, we became friends last year, his name is Cameron Schweitzer, and he's finishing up his PhD at Gateway Seminary out in California, and he's the director of enrollment for the seminary, so he came and he was tabling for the seminary, and he did a couple breakouts and had a pretty neat experience. I went to his breakouts, and he was talking about the gospel. He was talking about just delighting in God, and he's like an expert on Jonathan Edwards. He's doing his PhD on Jonathan Edwards, and he was quoting verses. A lot of the verses that he quoted as he was teaching were verses that I've memorized. And it was almost like these are verses that I've known for a long time, and he was explaining them and teaching on them, and they were just coming alive for me as he was relating and teaching and unpacking the scripture for us. And it was just such a just encouraging experience. And he said a couple things I want to point out to you as I close here. He asked the question, and he was actually talking about reading your Bible in quiet time, which is kind of related to discipline, spiritual discipline like scripture memory. And he started with the gospel, talking about the gospel and how that relates to us. He asked us the question, why does God save sinners? Why does God save sinners? And the good news is that God saves sinners through the person of work of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose from the grave. And he pointed out this theological word, Jesus is the propitiation for our sin, which means in our sin, the wrath of God rests on all of us if we don't know Christ for our sin. And Jesus came, and he was the wrath, he bore the wrath of God for our sin. He's the propitiation for our sin. So Jesus was the wrath-bearing sacrifice for our sins. And this is all great, it's the gospel. But Cameron pointed something out for us that I never really thought about before. He says, okay, this is how God saves us, but he asks us the question, why does God save us? And he quoted John 17:3, which says, now this is eternal life, that we may know Jesus Christ. this is eternal life, that we may know him and know the Father and live with him forever. God not only saves us through the work of Jesus Christ, but he saves us so that we can be with him forever. 1 John 5 says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. He died for us so that we could live together with him forever. So he hasn't destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was unpacking all, and he just said, man, Cameron is such a neat speaker. He's just so eloquent in how he speaks. It was just such a worshipful moment for me as I was reflecting on these verses, some of these verses that I've memorized. God's word is powerful. God's word speaks. Let me pray. Lord, I do pray that, the first probably couple times I heard a seminar or a workshop on this, it was just intimidating, really intimidating for me. But it's such an encouragement now that I do know that if I can do this, I think anyone can. And it's just such a delight seeing people take steps when it comes to this really meaningful spiritual practice. So, Lord, I just pray for any heart or life, maybe just a young person today who's really gripped by this idea, this practice, Lord. I just pray that they would get the help that they need, that we would be able to converse through the Word of God, encourage one another, fight sin. And Lord, we know that we don't have the power to do this unless we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, Lord, I just pray for anyone today that you would work in their lives if there's a decision that needs to be made. Amen. Well, before Pastor Calvin comes up and gives the invitation, my father-in-law, he's someone I really admire a lot. He's a really godly man. And he was involved in a campus ministry for 4 years in college at University of Nebraska. And he got into scripture memory, and he actually led a seminar at a conference on scripture memory. And he said about at that time of his life, he had memorized maybe 20 verses. And his senior year of college, he had this experience where he realized he wasn't truly born again. And he said that in the next 6 months, he memorized 200 verses of scripture. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives when it comes to this. So if you feel like you can't do this, you have the Spirit of God as a believer that can give you the power to engage in this practice.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.